Hey, this is Eddie with Selling People, Not a Process. Welcome to another episode. Guys, I just wanted to get with you. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about emergency preparedness. I happen to be fortunate enough to work for the leading company that does emergency preparedness plans on commercial structures in the country. And the franchise that I worked for was the leading franchise out of over 1,800 locations. So I guess kind of in a way, without tooting my own horn, that makes me an expert on emergency preparedness and probably pretty much the authority, considering that everybody is chasing this company on how to do effective emergency preparedness plans. So I had a special guest that was going to be in the studio today, but unfortunately the owner decided that he didn't want to share the wealth. And he's not going to be here, but since I taught that guy everything that he knows, I'll go ahead and do it anyway, because I don't need his permission to be able to talk about this stuff. So there we go. So anyway, we're going to talk about doing emergency preparedness profiles on commercial structures, but more importantly in the public school systems and why they are so incredibly important. And to move really from the platform that I was utilizing to some partners that we have called Pre-Plan Live. And we're going to kind of get into the differences and the nuances. But first, let's kind of dive in as to why, as a restoration professional, you would even want to go in and do an emergency preparedness profile on a structure, considering that it's going to teach them how to minimize loss and damage. You know, the philosophy of the majority of restoration professionals are is, you know, let the loss be as big as humanly possible. You know, let's make it bigger than it needs to be, because probably it's only going to happen once in my career lifetime. So let's milk it for all it's worth. That's such a BS philosophy to operate with. And the reason being is because we are, as restoration professionals, and I'm going to separate the two. There are restoration professionals and ultra high performers. There are restoration companies and elite restorers. I like to say that I'm in the category of being an ultra high performer and an elite restorer, because I'm about the customer. I am not about the paycheck, the size of the job, the size of my commission check, any of that. You guys have heard me talk about that in previous series, developing a servant's heart, you know, things like that. This is realistically the opportunity that you can go out and be able to change lives and put lives back together when they can't. So people had always asked me, you know, the biggest question that I always got and the successes that I had was how. Well, very early on, I was taught how to present these emergency preparedness profiles and why they were such a deep, meaningful relationship builder. And I think that ultimately, you know, when you build deep, meaningful relationships with your clients, they don't even entertain the idea of utilizing anyone else's services, because you're going to take care of them from start to finish. So the emergency preparedness profile lays that gauntlet down. They're not free. They're at no cost. But you're going to go in there and go do this emergency profile because A, it's branding. B, you do care as much about their business as they do. And especially in a public school system, you know, this is all about the safety of the students and the faculty. So you take care of what you can control. You take care of the structure. You take care of the drying. You take care of the rebuild if you guys do that. You know, you take care of putting everything back into pre-loss condition. But when it comes to the lives are more important. And, you know, that's evident whenever you see an F5 tornado rip through a town and you see students that are killed. You know, it is... at that point, mitigation doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters anymore. Just the, you know, how in the world can we help the families? What can you possibly say that could minimize impact? And there's frankly nothing. So at the end of the day, that mitigation job really didn't mean anything whenever there's loss of life involved or even injury. You know, it's more important. Human, you have to have the human factor. You have to have the empathy side before you have anything else. So let's talk about the school systems and why emergency preparedness plans are so important to work in conjunction with the superintendents and directors of facilities or plant managers. So they can't be there 24/7. And the situation is that they, a lot of times, these people don't even know where everything that would be pertinent in an emergency would be. So let's take the emergency preparedness plan first off, step by step. Outline of the building, total square footage, how long it's going to take you to get from your facility to their facility in an emergency, providing a detailed map of your route, where you're going to park your vehicles in the emergency situation. And then you start doing the deeper dive. Who is the emergency contacts? Where's the nearest hospital, police, fire? Where are their utility companies? And what's the contacts for that? Where are their key vendors that they want to utilize? Who's their roofer, their HVAC guy, plumbers, electricians, food service providers? You know, any of these kinds of things. Detailed evacuation routes of the building, where fire extinguishers are located in the building. How do you shut down the fire suppression system? What does it even look like? Where do they store, their hazardous materials? It could be paint. It could be paint thinner. It could be chlorine bleach for the pool. You know, there's all kinds of things that would be pertinent for a first responder to know, because what happens in the event that fire comes into contact with chlorine? It produces a noxious gas and it's highly flammable. You know, so it's important to know where those things are stored. But even more importantly, that once you get the overlay of the building, you get all these detailed pictures of where things are located, water shutoffs, electric panels, you know, everything that could be pertinent in an emergency. You're going to compile this into a document and a binder. And then if you do have the blessing of being able to have an app like the company that I worked for, it's a proprietary passcode protected app. They're not sharing that information with anybody else. And then at that point, you know, they have something in the palm of their hand. So, you know, you ask the question, what do you reach for first in an emergency? Well, you reach for your phone. So the director of facilities or school plant manager could realistically, if he was at home sick in bed and there was no other member of that staff, fire suppression system goes off, he literally would not even have to get out of bed to be able to tell a staff member how to walk down, detailed directions of how to walk down the hall, find the fire suppression closet, how to turn it off within minutes, so to minimize impact or damage. So why would a restoration company do that? They do that to create trust. And realistically, that is all sales and relationships are based on, is based on trust. So if I can teach you, utilize this emergency preparedness tool, even as a training tool for new members or staff members that are coming in, use it as in services, you know, things like that, then at that point, I've went above and beyond just being a mitigation vendor. I have become a strategic partner with their organization. So some of the other things that you can do to incite getting these emergency preparedness profiles is sometimes the insurance carriers will give them a discount on their insurance. You know, we had that happen with a very large speaker manufacturing company that had a huge water loss on Christmas. And the insurance company came in and saw, because they were able to minimize damage, knew where the main water supply was. It was a 4-inch water main break. They were able to shut it off and minimize damage. They gave them a 20% discount off their policy. Now, that doesn't necessarily always happen, but it is a no until you ask, you know. But ultimately, when you're going in to go present this emergency preparedness profile, if you're doing it at no cost, then it realistically, your presentation has to almost be as such as, why would you not do this? Even if they already have a plan in place, offer to look at it, advise on it, and enhance it. You're not going out to try to replace it. You're trying to make it better. And you being that strategic advisor, you see the heartache every day as a restoration professional, you know, of people that don't have these plans in place. Why would somebody not have it? It makes zero sense that every time you go pitch one of these that somebody tells you no. Makes no sense to me at all. So I don't even give them the option. Hey, I've got next Tuesday or Wednesday available. Which day works better for you? Use that positive assumptive close in these things. If you want an example of what one of these would be, email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. That's eddie@tierlevel.com. I'll shoot you over an example. Some of the other things where this really comes into play is these emergency preparedness plans will help assisted living and elder care facilities with their emergency action plans or emergency operating procedures. It fulfills the emergency preparedness portion of that plan, which is about a 200 or 300 page document. So do you bring value to the table whenever you go in to say, hey, I'd love to come and do this portion of it for you at no cost? Well, of course you do, because you know, assisted living facilities are understaffed and underpaid. They don't have time to sit around and write plans. So again, now you're partnering with them to help make their facility safer. So that's kind of a 30,000-foot view. One of the things that we also did that was an enticing feature is I know you guys have a marketing budget. We would take and go put schools in a lottery, and we did about 190 schools out of over 300 school systems in the state and on these emergency preparedness plans. But the smaller schools, we went in and put their name into a bucket and did a lottery for a drawing for an AED, which is a defibrillation device, to donate to the school system, brought the press out, did the install, did the training, did all of those things. It's about $1,100 to $1,200 per quarter. I know you've got that in your marketing budget. You're spending it on freaking ink pens, magnets, and calendars, for God's sakes. And, you know, if you want to go around and throw all that crap into people's offices, then you're no different than the other 500 competitors that are out there. So good luck to you. Let's see how that works. So, and if you don't think so, next time you walk into an insurance agent's office, take a look around the office at the spoils of war. They're going to have a competitor's calendar, another competitor's magnet, using another competitor's pen, with another competitor's jar of candy, and then 500 jars of or 500 cards on the table of shame from competitors? Or are you walking in and having meaningful conversations with your clients about their business? But that's a whole nother topic. But you want to walk around, be like everybody else, and expect a different result? More power to you, man. Knock yourself out. That's why you're just a sales professional and you're not an ultra high performer, because you don't think outside the box. So I dare you to go out, go start these emergency preparedness plans, and then follow up with them. That is the only way you're ever going to see ROI. So I had 111 commercial losses in 2017. 84% of those were direct phone calls from emergency preparedness clients. So they work. And if you think they don't, I will prove you wrong. I challenge you, any territory you're in, I will prove to you that these work. So I really appreciate you taking the time. Really sorry that the owner did not allow the gentleman to come in. He's really a force to be reckoned with in the school systems. But hey, like I said, I taught him everything he knows. So he got it straight from the horse's mouth. And so what if the owner doesn't get to get any type of publicity because of it? You know what? Hey, that's his problem. So anyway, guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you have any feedback that would go great along with this, email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. That's eddie@tierlevel.com. Would love to hear your stories. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.